Thank you, Spencer and Wendy. I first came to know Spencer some years back when a charity his church was involved with in Sheffield needed a trustworthy person in Nigeria to serve as one of the trustees. And they have seen my name appear in the southern trowel of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. They inquired if they can incorporate me into that trustees, and then they were given permission. And then the church in, I think the Metropolitan Tabernacle sent a message as I go to the banner of two that I should look out for a man called Spencer Kanna. And then I looked out for him and he looked out for me and we met. After the Banner of Truth conference, I followed him to Sheffield. That's where the friendship started. I want to say thank you, brother, for keeping that friendship. And then I invited him to come out to Port Harcourt, to our church. He came, but Wendy was afraid if he would be eaten by the crocodiles. So when he came back and he was not eaten, and then he came again. And Spencer and Wendy, I want to tell you that the work you stand with me to build. Because in those days, when we had the conference and all the pastors from the Charismatic and Pentecostal that came, the questions that were thrown at us, and then Spencer, myself, and we would take gentleness and answer those questions. Today, in those conferences, there are no more questions. They are just ready to hear the word of God. And the churches are growing in our area. We thank God for that. And so when he moved to this place, I also moved with him. And I came last year and presented my work in the midweek meeting. We want to turn to the word of God. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as we know, that the book of 1 Corinthians is a book full of questions and answers. The Corinthians ask questions. The apostle have to answer them. Of course, from the beginning, it was a question of unity and loyalty. And then the apostle made them clear that they should look up to Jesus Christ alone and not the apostle Paul or Peter or Apollos. Then, of course, in chapter 5, they ask the man who had taken his father's wife to wife, what should be done? Paul gave that answer. Chapter 7, what about marriage? And then they went on. What about the gift of the Spirit? In chapter 12. Here in chapter 15, a lot of questions concerning the resurrection. Did Jesus really die? Did he resurrect? With what kind of body? What about the power of death? Was it broken? What happened to the believers after they died? Of course, it was right. These people came from a hidden background. As we are going to hear from this sermon, that no world religion had resurrection in their teaching. So it was right that they asked this question, and it was very good for the apostle to put them through. And so while we are going through this, if any of us has questions in respect to the resurrection, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 gives us a clear answer. But before we study or we look at the resurrection, my topic would be the exaltation of Christ at his resurrection. We want to look at the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which theologians call Christology. The teaching about the person and the work of Christ. When you want to consider the person and the work of Christ, you talk about his pre-existence. Jesus is not just a man like us who were born. We had no beginning until we were born. But he had pre-existence with the Father. And theologians call it the eternal generation of the Son. Then you pass that to his incarnation, God becoming man. Then you pass that to the two states of Christ and two natures of Christ, which we will not talk about this, but we will deal on the two states of our Lord Jesus Christ. The two states are the state of humiliation and the state of exaltation. So the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ started the state of Christ's exaltation. And I will just give you a few points. So point number one will be the state of Christ's exaltation, which are his resurrection from the dead. Matthew chapter 28 showed how Christ came back to life. In his state of resurrection, another is his ascension. He rose and then went into heaven after 40 days. And then he seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. All this we will not deal much. Then his second coming, but the fourth of his state of exaltation. His second coming to judge the world. So we want to deal on the Christ's exaltation in his resurrection, which is my point number two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 26, we can see all this. I would read that or bring that to conclusion when we might have seen the exaltation of Christ. In the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we saw the exaltation of him, that his body saw no corruption. Everyone that was born into this world died. And when they die, their body rot. And this is why Christianity stands out among all other religions. In fact, the resurrection of Christ is a pivot of Christianity. It's the bedrock of Christianity. Take that away, that Christianity becomes like one of the world religions. But Christ resurrected without seeing corruption. In the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, when Peter was explaining on the day of Pentecost concerning David's prophecy that God would not allow his servants to see corruption, Peter said that was not concerning David. It was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, because his body did not see corruption. He rose. Then he had the same body which he suffered and died, and then resurrected without mortality. Have in mind that Prophet Elijah, both of them raised the dead, where those who were raised died again. And Jesus Christ as well raised up Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. They both came back to life, but died again. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the first. He rose and did not die again. Of course, he did not come back with the same corrupt body that the other people rose. He came up immortal and blessed forever. He rose again from the dead, the third day, by his own power. John chapter 10, verse 18. He declared himself to be the Son of God with power through his resurrection. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He satisfied the divine justice. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. He vanquished death, and in him, and him that had the power of death, even the devil, he conquered death and Satan. He resurrected to be Lord of the quick, the living, and the dead. And then he is the head of his church. This concerns us now. He resurrected that he might be the head of his church. For the church justification, the people of God declared righteous before him, quickening in grace, giving us regeneration, and then support against enemies. Last week, when we were celebrating the resurrection, you heard what happened in Sri Lanka. But yet, would the church scatter that place today? Would they not meet? Of course, the Lord will strengthen them and encourage them. And then the Lord resurrected to assure his people, his followers, the Christians, of their own resurrection from the dead at the last day. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 said, he is like the first fruit, and then we shall resurrect with him. His empty tomb and personal appearances are proof after his resurrection. There are objections against resurrection by the critics. I only quote here three theories. One of them is that Jesus' body was stolen by the disciples. That is found in Matthew chapter 28. But that is not true. Secondly, the swoon theory, that Jesus did not actually die on the cross. He only fainted. So when they put him in the grave, the coldness of the grave revived him. He came out and walked through the soldiers, and they thought he was resurrected. Of course, we have no time to examine that, because a man who was so beaten Thursday night, and then his hands and feet pierced, with what strength when he wake up, will he have to roll the stone away and then walk through the soldiers? So it's a lie. The third one, people said it was Judas that was crucified. That when Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he disappeared like he used to do. In other occasions, then they turn around. Where's the person that we paid you money to give to us? Since he is not there, we crucify you. All these are lies. All these are what people are trying to do so that they might take away the resurrection. Because if you remove the resurrection from the Christianity, then Christianity becomes like other religion. It has no power. But two things prove the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The empty tomb is one of them. And then the second one is that the appearances. That's why here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul began with the appearances. He appeared to this, he appeared to that, he appeared to 500 brethren at one time, and to me, he appeared. So the resurrection is authentic and is the bedrock of Christianity. We stand by it and die by it and believe it and go on with it. My third point will be Christ exalted in his resurrection. Christ exalted in his resurrection authenticates his claims. The resurrection of Christ authenticates his claims. One, that he is one with the Father. If you read again John chapter 17, you believe what the theologians call the eternal generation of the Son, that he had been there. He said to the Father, remember the glory I have with you from before the world began. So he is one with God. He claimed that, and it's true. Secondly, his resurrection authenticates his teachings. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that is true. The resurrection authenticates as well his teaching in that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So the resurrection authenticates him. The resurrection authenticates his miracles, including the resurrection of the Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. Because at the resurrection of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Of course, the Jews believe in the resurrection, especially the Pharisees. The Sadducees did not. But maybe the general public of the people of Jews believe in the resurrection, like is cited by the book of Daniel. But they believe that the resurrection would take place at the end. They couldn't believe that one like Christ. That was why they were confused. But Jesus Christ resurrected to prove this teaching, that he is the resurrection and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ resurrected as the only way of salvation. Salvation is through him alone. As we have quoted John chapter 14, verse 6, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, no other name given among us. And then his salvation in atonement and propitiation is successful. He is Lord of all by his resurrection. And he said, all power and authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. I go on to the next point. what the resurrection means to mankind. Here I have 3 points. What the resurrection means to the religious world. Number one, every other religion have not the teaching of the resurrection. And therefore, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they should know that Jesus is the only way. The only way. Of course, I say this with authority, that the African traditional religion has nothing of resurrection in it. The same thing with Islam, Buddhism, Shintoism, and whatever religion you have. Yes, African traditional religion has something we called the belief in afterlife. The Egyptian believe that, the Babylonian believe that, and every ancient people and today they believe of the afterlife. That is, after the dead, there is life. That was why our chiefs, when they died in those days before the gospel came, the people said, we don't want our chief to go to the land of the dead alone. They have to kill 5 or 10 slaves, 10 human beings to go along with him. They believe that. They also believe in what is called reincarnation. When you die, you come back to life through maybe your grandson or your great-grandchildren. But they never talk about the resurrection. So it was quite clear why the Corinthians would ask the question concerning the resurrection. So the resurrection is only agreeable in the Bible and is authenticated in Christianity. And that's why Christianity stands out against all other religions. All other religions have their founders' grave with them. Some of them travel to pilgrimage to see the bones of their founder. But Jesus' tomb is empty. Amen. And he lives. He lives in you and lives in me. And that's the proof of his resurrection. Secondly, what the resurrection means to the man, to mankind, to the unbelievers, the resurrection means judgment of God. The agnostics, the atheists, and whatever you call them, they can argue against Christianity, against the resurrection, against, and when they want to die, they have nothing to hold on to. They will be condemned. And if you are in this house without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what you are saying to God. You are saying to God, you can punish me for my sin. And God is ready to do that. So hell is a place where God will pour out his wrath, his anger upon those who have sinned against him. Remember what the Bible says? For the wages of sin is death. For on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took the sin of his people upon him. That was why it was too much even for the Father to behold my sin and your sin upon his beloved son. He turned away for the first time. And Jesus could cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was not a joke. And it was not a child play. And darkness came to the earth. And there was earthquake. The rent veil. All those showed the anger of God upon his son. Because of my sin, of your sin. And then if you will not receive Jesus Christ to be your mediator, your surety, your head, to stand, as it were, to defend you against the wrath of God, you are saying, God, you will punish me, and he will bring it upon you. This is it. Until you run to Jesus Christ. He's the only hope, the only way. Thirdly, for us who are believers, the resurrection means so much for us. The resurrection means salvation by grace, through faith in Christ, on scripture truth, and glory to God alone. Our sins are forgiven and cleansed. Of course, do you know the 10 golden order of salvation was given to us through his resurrection, his election of his people, his calling us out of the world to be his people, the regeneration that he gave us life, the conversion that he gave us two things, faith and repentance. And then after that, he justifies us, counts us righteous, declares us righteous, and then adopts us into his family. What does that mean? That God would adopt rebels into his family? This is not just mere adoption, that I have no child. I have to seek for orphanage and then go to adopt a child to be my family. No. The adoption that God has adopted us means he adopted those who rebel against him to be his sons in his family. Of course, I can show a little picture here because you are British. You have the monarchy, and those of the monarchy have special privilege. But imagine you railing against the queen. She should no longer be. They are taking the British money, the taxpayers' money. They are living on that. They travel the world. They go here and there. They are so free. They should not. Of course, with my friends, we take a play guard. We stand at the Buckingham Palace. The queen must go. The monarchy must go. And the queen knew this. But the queen sent his son to war you. Of course, the illustration would not be so much so clear because Prince Charles cannot die for you. But just to war you. And then you pipe, the queen want to see you. Why must she see me? Yeah, come along with me. And he takes you. And the queen said, my son, I want you to be my son. And he declared the next day, the media will publish that you, a rebel against the king, have become the son of the king. That's how it is. We were against God. We fought against God. We say all kinds of things against God. Some of us were atheists, agnostic. My forefathers were worshippers of idol. We despised God even though we knew that there was God. But he sent his son, came and died for us and bring us into fellowship with him. Adoption, the great truth. Then after that, we talk about sanctification. That we are sanctified, cleansed, washed. We are given a white robe, as it were, to wear, to signify we are children of the king. And whenever the white robe goes dirty on one spot, we must not go ahead. We must stop to make it cleanse by going to God and giving a short account. Then you know of perseverance of the saints. He will give us the grace by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to persevere to the end, all because Jesus Christ died and resurrected and lived for us. And then, what happened when we die? Death is a door open to a greater life. Let it be in Boko Haram, in Nigeria, bombing the people in the church like they do in the north, or in Sri Lanka, when a man strapped his back into the church and detonated the bomb and all believers. They are just, somebody said in Nigeria that the Boko Haram do not know they are sending many Christians to the presence of God earlier than they would have been. So they open. And then one other thing is glorification. The day comes when either we shall be taken to be with him in death, or he shall come. And then he shall declare before the Father and the angels and demons, these are my own. And the Bible says we have a kingdom. We have a mansion prepared for every one of us. So this is what the Lord has done for us. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul make us know as well that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus has become to his people the power of God. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse
18 to 19, he says, the same power that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. And that's through regeneration. And Christians do not know the power that is in them. I tell my people, because today in Nigeria, it's very fashionable for a pastor to demonstrate his power. And because of this, so many things happen. But no, that does not need. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the power of Jesus Christ embedded in you to live the Christian life and live a life for God. And then Jesus Christ has become to us wisdom from God. Righteousness, the righteousness that comes from him. Sanctification, redemption, and then glorification. So friends, we are a people of God. We trust in him. No other religion is like Christianity. But Christianity is a relationship that the Father has sent his Son to be the propitiation of his people. So you are witnesses of this resurrection. How do you live your life then? Resurrection has given us a unique day, the day of the Lord, for us to come together. He had given us the Holy Spirit for 10 days after he resurrected and went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. So we have this. And then we have the body of believers all over the world. You can come to Nigeria and know nobody, but just call Anieka Nepo. I come from Kensit Evangelical Church. Oh, I've been there. You have a brother. You have sisters everywhere. So Christianity is unique because of the resurrection of our Lord. Remember that the exhortation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the doctrine of Christ's exhortation begin with his resurrection. And then he ascended, which form another teaching altogether. He's sitting at the right hand of God and he's coming again. No other religion. So are you Christians? Be encouraged. We are on the right path. You may be discouraged because of looking at around you, but look up. A man mentioned to me recently that the work of the ministry is like the tide that comes in and goes out. But the pastor must not look at the tide that comes in and goes out. The pastor must look at the ocean. I can say the same thing. The Christian life is like the tide that comes in and goes out. It must not depend upon your feeling, upon what you have and what you do not have. But look at the ocean, Christ. Look at him. And the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That he will vindicate us. He will stand by us at the end. Even when we die, we shall die well and go to be with our Father. Resurrection is the bedrock of Christianity. It's the beginning of our Christian life. And will continue to lead us until we shall see God at last. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the message of thy gospel. That the resurrection is preached to us today. That without it, the gospel is not authenticated. And Christ's work would be in vain. Thank you for these verses that you gave to us. We can look them again. That if Christ be not risen from the dead, then our preaching and our faith is vain. But he is risen as a first fruit among those who will come after him. Bless us that we might keep this. Oh Lord, we remember again our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka as they mourn their dead, and those in Boko Haram area, and those in ISIS area. Lord, we pray that you may make them to look up to thee, knowing that after this life, there's a greater and better life that comes through the resurrection of Christ to us. Blessed be your name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us forever. Jesus' name. Amen. We come to an end as we sing hymn number 274. 274. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Can we rise to sing? Thank you. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance of grace upon us and give us peace. Through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.